Welcome, everybody. We're here for meeting number 8 of the 5 Question Book Club, discussing Chapter 9 today. Chapter 9 is all about celebration, and it is, again, full of ideas and things to think about. And so we wanted to just have a short conversation of what that celebration piece could look like and give folks some ideas. I think the chapter's full of some good ideas on how to celebrate and some real powerful pictures, descriptions of what that looks like, but also the reflection piece, too, that's sort of built into that. I think that's something powerful not to be ignored. I'll pass it over to Vicky here for just a quick introduction here and get some information, get a hello from her. Go ahead, Vicky.
Hey, everybody. I love the celebration. The two most important parts of a project are when you kick off, and we call that typically the handshake, and when you finish. You want to really finish well in two ways. Number one, so that everybody knows that there's closure, so you can end on an upbeat note, but also for this whole idea of retrospection. And, we shouldn't call it a postmortem. A postmortem implies that your project is dead. And it's not dead. It should be living, breathing, ongoing. It's time to start putting this into our classrooms. There's too much of let's do this one time, let's do that one time, we're going to do this year and that next year. You know, that may meet the needs of the teacher, but it doesn't really give a lot of consistency. So figure 9.1, which is at the beginning of the chapter, kind of shows how that you can feed different experiences to the other. So you have synchronous and asynchronous celebrations, and your synchronous celebrations can be recorded and feed into your asynchronous trail you leave behind so that others can look and see what you've done. So I think it's real important to celebrate. And in fact, our last session will be not Mother's Day, because we're going to take a break on Mother's Day. It'll be the following week at 6, it'll be the 6 p.m. time. And our hope is to really celebrate what we've done with the book club. There have been a lot of great conversations, and we really appreciate Ben and Neil and what they've done. But it's important to start with a celebration, to end with a celebration, kind of on a bang and an up note. Because sometimes it can be tough in the middle of a project. Attendance can wane at your meetings, and you can get down a little bit and go, well, is everybody still there? Well, they're there. They're just working like crazy. And you want to end and say, hey, everybody is there. Everybody did do this project, and we did learn this. So I think this is one of the keys to ending well. Otherwise, it just kind of peters off into existence. If you could just picture a race around the track that just didn't end, and people just kept running, and then eventually they just stopped running, and you never knew when it ended. And so you need to have a finish line so that you can all know who finishes. Yes, and great point there, Michael, a celebration of learning and achievements. Thanks.
Yeah, and I also like the idea that presented of having these learning libraries that you're able to, sort of preserve, for future reference, but also for people who participate, that's always there. I'm also very curious to see what the celebrations will end up looking like in some of these younger grades that are starting to get more involved with global collaboration. We've got Michael Graff in here from the Global Classroom, and would love to hear about what's going on with the planning of your celebration you talked about, Michael. If you get any details you can provide to us about that.
Thanks. We're just slowly coming to the end of our 9 month journey. It's quite hard to believe. It feels like yesterday that we're sitting there staring at our Google Doc with all these people signed up wondering what the hell we were going to do. We've come a long way since then. The end of Global Cluster in 2011-12 is probably going to be about 6 weeks. I'm hoping to do a webinar. I have to start planning that. But what we're doing is a special way to celebrate our work is we're sending 3 artist sketchbooks around the world. We currently have one in Brazil at an adult English school. It's going to head to Guatemala, and it's going to sit in the USA until September, we think, because we kind of ran out of time before the end of the American school year. The other one's in Romania, heading to UK, South Africa, New Zealand, then back to Australia, I hope. I want to use that at the Australian Computer Conference, which I'm hoping to present at. We're also having a wiki, which is hopefully going to start building up over the next couple of weeks. It's basically asking teachers and students to share their best work from the past 9 months, the work they're most proud of, share it with the world. And of course, behind the scenes, I have to come up with our final reflection survey and work out what worked, what didn't, and looks like we're going to be back again in September for another year, so it's been quite a ride.
Yeah, that's awesome, Michael. I cannot wait to see some of the stuff that folks come up with in those ending sessions, but also I think the reflection piece will be so powerful, especially for you guys, and after this first year, and it's just a reflection. It's just such, it's so important too, and I think Gwendolyn, you added to that a memorable culminating experience to really, embed these learning experiences in the students' minds, and it's really become something they, are going to be carrying with them throughout. It's quite an accomplishment, hats off to you. I'm glad to have, made acquaintances here via book club and Twitter and other things. And definitely congrats.
Yeah, that's great. And the first time you have a project, it's really a lot harder than when you start doing the projects again. You learn so much, and you're going to find that it's a lot easier the second time you do it and the third time you do it. And then it becomes a matter of interjecting new ideas and making sure it's welcoming to beginners and that you don't get in a rut. You have to sometimes step away. Like Julie and I now have other people who run the projects pretty often, so that we can step away and it doesn't become stagnant, and we kind of like to chase those project managers if we can, so that it doesn't become just, this is the way we've always done it. But the other thing about celebration is to have people talk honestly about, there's the celebration that's face-to-face, like in your Blackboard Collaborate room like this, But then there's also the post-project surveys to give people a chance to anonymously share their feedback, because sometimes people don't want to hurt your feelings. They like you as a person. But you need to always, your ability to succeed in the 21st century is in direct proportion to your ability to listen to and encourage people to tell you the truth about things. And it's hard sometimes to do that because you work so hard and you've put your whole life and energy into it. And some other people just don't see it that way. They don't see what you see in it, and you have to learn from them.
I'd like to say that I kind of agree more with that. One of our biggest problems has been connecting with the people who sign up and we never hear from again, which is the old age-old story. So what I'm actually hoping to do through the survey is to hopefully get a few responses from them as to why, what the barriers were to their participation. One thing I have learned is that there's no way I'm going to be pulling my hair out for a month trying to plan all the planning that went into Global Classroom 2011-12 is just going to make life a lot easier in the future. But one thing that's a definite priority is sharing the work. We did that pretty well this year, but that's something that we're going to work on next year.
You know, attrition is just part of it. There are a lot of people who intend to do a lot of things. Just separate out your feedback. So, you know, that's a struggle for us because we have people that we know who have never completed our projects, and then, a particular country, somebody will write a magazine article on us in a country and interview those people, and they're, you know, they say they're, well, for you, it might be, oh, I'm a global collaboration expert, just because their name was on the homepage when you started. And so that's why we actually don't do our press releases till 6 weeks into the project, because what was happening is people just wanted to get listed. And once they got listed, then they just left. And that's pretty awful. Plus, we're starting to do some things with recognizing those who do complete the projects and do have their students participate. Because there needs to be recognition for those who can actually be trusted to get through projects and get those finished, and be people that are trustworthy to collaborate with. So these are all different pieces of the celebration of, you know, you finished and you did this, and other people need to know that you're the kind of person to work with. Trusted is a strong word, but it's true. You know, I live in Camilla, Georgia. There are people I can trust, and there are people that that maybe you can't in terms of working with. There are people who have integrity and people that may not or have good intentions, you know. And the other thing is to know that life happens, and some people have really bad things happen. And I'm not saying you mark people off forever, but, you know, once I have a person, I there's somebody I'm thinking of right now, at least we'll know who it is, that has signed up for 5 projects and never shown up for one, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, they've signed up again. They're not trustworthy. They don't show up. So, you know, I mean, this is a tough one, but it happens.
Yeah, that is a tough one, but it quickly becomes apparent how large the number of people are who are trustworthy, and that's why I think Neil and I just believe in the beauty and the power of the learning network, because you know, there's so many people who you can call upon for help, and not a coincidence, a lot of them happen to be flat classroom folks, in my personal opinion. Just one quick thing, we're going to sort of wrap up the abbreviated session here. I have one more question for folks, especially Vicky too, but also anybody else who wants to comment on this idea that the celebration is an opportunity for student reflection. I just think that the student reflection piece is something that often gets left out, and I think, you know, you've got to work that into it and get the honest feedback from students. And that can happen from students of all ages. I'm curious to know what that looks like or what some things you've learned about that, Vicky, but also Michael, what you have in store for that. And either one of you want to talk to the student reflection piece.
Well, we have our students have a student summit at the end, and they go in and everybody brings they upload a JPEG to the name, and then they bring that in to the final student summit. So we try to schedule those where we overlap between classes and the students reflect on what they've learned. Each student has about a minute. And we try to get as many as we can into a 30 to 45, sometimes an hour period. Sometimes we'll just hand it off from classroom to classroom, which I think we're going to be doing maybe this Friday. And we'll just go for 2 hours. And one classroom will get out of class, the next one will go in, and we'll just keep going. And so the students share what they've learned and the different aspects, and it's kind of interesting because so many teachers, until after they hear their student reflections, don't really understand what their students have learned, and then also it's so easy to have your one or two students who maybe are not having a great experience, or your very vocal complainers who obsessed to the point that you wonder if it's even worth it. And when you hear your students reflect and you see how much they have learned and you see the lessons and they can hear the lessons from each other, you realize, you know what, we have learned a lot and we have come a long way. And we, you know, maybe, you know, collaboration is so imperfect. I mean, that's one thing that comes out of every project, is that collaboration is just an imperfect thing. So, you know, anyway, that's just kind of, you know, I think it's the student voice has to be there. It's so important to have the student voices. This is not about educating teachers. I mean, it is in some ways, but it's really about the students. So let them have a voice and let them share.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you, when you get caught up in something, it's a huge amount of work, like any project. That's just so vital to keep that in mind and to keep the students at the center of it. Michael, just wanted to ask you real quick before we head out if what the Global Classroom had in store for student reflection and what that might look like, or if not now, in the future.
Thanks, Ben. I think for us, the biggest thing that we've got for student reflection at the moment is actually the scrapbooks. The purpose of the scrapbook project is for students to share their stories of how their global conditions have impacted on them and their learning. Unfortunately, we can't get the scrapbook to every classroom. It's just too expensive. But that is on the agenda for later.
That's good to, you know, to have that sort of in mind, the goals, and also sort of reflecting it yourself and thinking of ways, and like you just mentioned, VoiceThread, as a way of doing it. I think that could be a real powerful piece and get the student voice into it. I wanted to thank everybody for joining us today and touching on this big idea of celebration. Our next meeting will be the 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be a celebration of sorts for us as we wrap this up. So bring a friend, and we'll join the celebration and have one last conversation here. Parting thoughts, Vicki?
Just that I appreciate those. I got a tweet this week from Kyle, who's been a big part of this book club, and she said, I just bought, I don't know, I think it was 27 or 29 copies of the book for my students, and I just was wanting to let you know. And that's very exciting to see that. Today, at 5, actually it's at 6, Julie and I are going to be doing a session about how to find a good global collaborative project. So, you know, we're trying to really help teachers see that this is something I can do, and it needs to be more than just about the classroom. This is about, you know, it's like classroom, it's kind of, in some ways, like flipped classroom, you know, it's a model, it's something you can use, we have a project, set of projects, but we really want to see, if teachers are going to do this on a massive basis, it's going to take a lot of teachers creating the projects, and we'd rather see teachers create the projects than, you know, somebody creating the projects for us, as seems to be everything else. I mean, all the textbooks we have are done for us, and all these other things are done for us, and I think that Global Collaborative Projects right now is done by us, and I would like it to be done by us, by the teachers, with the students, part of it, and it's organic, as Norman says, it just happens, it's grassroots, it's happening from the ground up, and I'd like to see that. There are a lot of conversations happening now about people who are wanting to do projects for us, and you know, many are afraid to connect teachers, because what happens when we really start all talking to each other, there are a lot of textbook companies who've said, we don't want teachers to connect around the textbooks. There are districts who've said, we don't want our teachers to develop connections with each other around topic. I don't know why they don't want us to. It sounds very repressive, actually. But there are communities of teachers doing this, and we just want to see more of those communities continue to thrive and survive and grow. So anyway, we'd like to do it in ways that are excellent and that they continue to do it in very positive ways that have a positive impact on the classroom. So anyway, that's how I wanted to end, and thank you all for coming today. I know this is a tough time at the end of the school year for us here in North America. I know it's the middle of the year for you, Michael. But anyway, thank you, Norman and Michael, everybody who's come. We've had a great talk today. Thanks.
Thanks, Vicki, and thanks, folks, for listening, taking part. And Michael and Norma for joining us today. We'll talk to you on May 20th, 6 p.m. Eastern. Take care, everybody.